generosity today. Am I generous? Is the title of this message. And I put it in that first person because this applies to me as well. And we're going to talk about generosity. We weren't born generous. We were actually born with that Adamic nature that's selfish. And so when you become born again, when you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you become generous. And then, but you still have to renew your mind to this and renew your mind to the double blessing. The double blessing is a book by Mark Batterson that I've been teaching out of, and it's a very good book. He pastors a church up in Washington, D.C., and I encourage you, if you don't have that book, you can get it. It's on Amazon. It's a very good book. You can get it on Kindle, or you can get the paperback. I think there's paperback and the hardback, but it's just a really good book. It's opened up my mind and my heart to a lot of things, just to the goodness of God. We don't realize how good God is, amen, and we have to renew our mind to that. But before we get into John chapter 12, we're going to do a little recap from last Sunday. And so before original sin, there was original blessing. And we learned that in the book of Genesis. We always talk about in Genesis chapter 3 is when the fall of man happened. But in Genesis chapter 1, it said after God created man and woman, he told them to be fruitful and multiply. And it says that he blessed them. He said, I bless you to go be fruitful and multiply. So what we have to renew our minds to this is this. Blessing is God's most ancient instinct. It's his default setting. It's his first and foremost reflex. If you don't believe that, you'll doubt the goodness of God. And any theology that starts with original sin and not with original blessing is false theology. Blessing is the heart of our Heavenly Father. In fact, it's the Bible says in Romans, Apostle Paul said, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Or the kindness of God is what one translation says that leads us to repentance. So just being good and kind to people can lead people to the kingdom of God. Amen. Not beating them up over the head with your Bible and being self-righteous and judgmental and all those things. We don't need any of that. We need more love. Amen. Amen. All right. So I'm going to go through these slides kind of quick so we can get to what I want to teach today. But I found out that I'm more of a teacher, as you all know that, and so I like to teach, and I found out that in sales, you need to follow up with somebody 17 times before they make an action or a decision, and I'm like, good grief, so I need to preach the same message to y'all 17 times, right, and to myself. And so I started thinking, well, if that's true, then I need to really do some recapping every Sunday, and so that's what I'm going to do. I did this last Sunday as well, but God wants to bless you beyond your ability to ask or imagine. God has blessings in categories you cannot even conceive of. A lot of times we think of God's blessings, we immediately go to, you know, financial things, and I'm going to talk about giving, and it involves finances as well, but it's, you need to give of your time, your talents, and your treasures, okay? You need to be what I call a T-rated Christian. You give your time, your talents, and your treasures to the Lord. And so blessing is a decision to make, a habit to form, and a mindset to establish. And we're going to learn how to get it and then how to give it. And so we're going to be learning how to flip the blessing, how to receive a blessing, but then also how to be a blessing to others. That's what God wants you to do, and flip the blessing. God doesn't bless us to raise our standard of living. God blesses us to raise our standard of giving. Okay? Now, I'm not trying to tell anybody that you can't improve and go, you know, get a newer home because you're, you know, a bigger home because your family's growing. Don't get legalistic on all this kind of stuff, all right? God wants to bless you in every area of life, but he doesn't bless us just to raise our standard of living. He blesses you to raise your standard of giving. You're blessed to be a blessing. We're blessed to bless, and the way we turn a blessing into a double blessing is by flipping the blessing. First of all, you get blessed, and then you flip it and bless somebody else, okay? And so I want to teach you just a little bit here, too, and remind you guys what the blessing is not. The blessing is not good luck, all right? If you see somebody that's blessed, I promise you, they've been through some things, and they have positioned themselves under God to be blessed, all right? Meaning they're living a life of obedience and doing the right things. So blessing is not good luck. In fact, in the Bible, the rich young ruler was telling Jesus, you know, I'm good, and you know, and telling him all these things, and how he's done all the commandments and everything, and Jesus knew what was holding him back, And he said, go sell everything that you have. And he couldn't do it. Because Jesus got to the bottom of it. Money was his God. It really was. And it wasn't the Lord Almighty. And I want you to think about this. That guy, hopefully he came, you know, hopefully he's in heaven. I don't know. I'm not the judge. But I got to thinking, he missed out on following the Son of God for 3.5 years on this earth because of money, because of the almighty dollar. And so we can't let that hold us up, amen? We can't be worshiping, you can't worship God and money, and we're going to look at that scripture here in a little bit in Matthew chapter 6. So blessing is not health, wealth, and prosperity. And I know that some people were like, wait a minute, that they are, that is part of the blessing. Those are byproducts of the blessing. Actually, the blessing, what the blessing is a relationship with God. That's the blessing. Then all this other stuff flows down from it. Joy, peace, contentment, healthy relationships, those are all blessings from God. It's not just health, wealth, and prosperity. And then, number three, blessing is not zero gravity, which means no problems. The blessing of God will complicate your life. And we talked about this, is that in John 16:33, Jesus said, in this world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And so when you're blessed by God, you're underneath what I call like an umbrella, okay? About now chaos and the world and everything, this the fall, we live in a fallen world, it's all going on all around you. And you may experience some of the effects of it. I have. You know, like a storm, you have an umbrella, a storm, you still get wet, right? You know, you may stay dry in some places, but you still get wet. So you're going to, that affect, because we live in a fallen world. And so it's not, the blessing, and I don't want you to hear me this morning, the blessing is not a life of no problems, okay? It is a life of problems, but God will help you overcome any problem that comes your way, because you're underneath his blessing. And I'm going to teach you how to be underneath his blessing too. And so the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, we made a little joke about this, but when you read that, the blessing wasn't a vacation or a pay raise. The blessing was God gave them more. So basically, if you read that right, the blessing was more work and more responsibilities, because to whom much is given, much is required. Okay, so then we went into this. That's kind of catching everybody up on this whole series. And then last week we talked about Ecclesiastes 11 verses 1 through 6, and I'm going to read this. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to 7 and also to 8, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. We was like, okay, that doesn't take a lot of wisdom, Solomon, to know that, right? Verse 4 says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know what is the way of the wind or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know how to know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Basically, Solomon's telling us to be, you know, don't wait for perfect conditions. Be a blessing. Be generous and continue to sow your seed. God doesn't bless disobedience. He doesn't bless pride or greed or laziness. He doesn't bless procrastinators or perfectionists. And so what we've got to do is we've got to learn how to position ourselves for God's blessings. And I shared a story that's out of the book, The Double Blessing, where there was a scientist and his friend who was a kind of a DIY, do-it-yourself kind of guy, and they liked to snow ski. And they went to this mountain, and this mountain had snow, had pretty good snow, and they skied that day. But there was this cloud that just kept hovering over the mountain, and they kept thinking, man, it's going to snow, and the snow's going to get better. We need more snow. And it never happened. And as they were coming down skiing, the scientist told the DIY guy, he said, wouldn't it be cool if we could seed that cloud was something that would produce snow and make more snow. And the DIY guys, yeah, that's cool. So they get down there. The DIY guy gets a freezer out, and he creates this whole deal. I don't have time to go on. You just need to read the book. It's a pretty interesting story. Creates this deal, and he blows his breath into it to create a cloud. And then he starts doing stuff, trying to seed that cloud to make it snow in that freezer. And he tried all kinds of things. And then one day, in his experimenting, he came up with, well, I wonder if I put dry ice in there, what will happen? So he put dry ice in there, and boom, there snow was created. And so he thought, we need to do this. Well, when that happened, when he figured it out, it was summertime, so they needed to wait until November until the conditions were right on that mountain. Sure enough, one day the conditions were right, mountain, there was a cloud there. They'd already received some snow, and it wasn't snowing, and they said, today's the day, let's do it. So they got this little plane. They had 6 pounds of dry ice that they had in this plane. They went up in the air. They had a crowd down below the mountain watching them. And as they flew over the cloud, they dropped that dry ice in the cloud, and people down below said the cloud just exploded with snow everywhere. So it was pretty cool to watch. And so that's where this word, going back to Ecclesiastes, back up to verse 4, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. We talked about seeding the clouds. And so I want you to picture over you as a cloud, all right? And God wants there to be an open heaven over each one of us as believers, as his sons and daughters, all right? Everybody got that mental picture? And so I want to show you how to, real quickly, because I taught this last Sunday, you need to go back and watch it in full. I'm still going to go through it all again today. But the first thing that you got to do to seed the clouds, you need to seed the clouds with prayer. And I'm not talking just a one-time prayer. I'm talking a prayer of faith, a prayer of persistence that you don't give up. All right? And this is a story in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 45. It says, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat, and drink, for it is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, where he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. When you put your face between your knees, you're being in business with God. All right, that's some prayer right there. Verse 43 says, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And 7 times he said, go again. So here we see the prayer of faith, the prayer of persistence. Then it came to pass at the 7th time, then he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. And it still hadn't started raining yet. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. And you might be saying, well, Pastor Mark, that's Elijah, you know. And we sang about Elijah, and then we sang about Elisha, who did double the miracles that Elijah did. And that, you know, that's with them guys in the Old Testament. We live in the New Testament. We live in a better covenant with better promises. You have the Holy Spirit. And everybody said, amen. So watch this. James 5, verses 16 through 18 says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Okay, we need the Elijah that's praying for rain right now. Okay, and in verse 18 it says, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So we're just like Elijah. That's what he's saying. So we just have to, when we pray, we have to believe in believing prayer. All right, here's number two. Seed the clouds with faith. So when you pray, you have to pray in faith. Seed the clouds with faith. And then God may tell you to take a step of faith. And I loved what was in the book. He said that at their church they have a motto that's go, set, ready. Instead of ready, set, go, it's go, set, ready. Meaning teaching us to take that step of faith. Don't wait for perfect conditions. Don't be that perfectionist, and don't wait. Don't be that procrastinator either. You got to start starting. And so in Joshua 3, verse 8, it says, you shall command the priest who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. And basically what he was saying, this is, at that time in Scripture, it was the Jordan was at flood stage, so it was a little over a mile wide is what scholars say, all right? And God's telling them he's going to give them safe passage like he did, you know, with the Red Sea. But in this situation, he told them, I'm not going to do it before you step in. I want you to step into the water, and then I'm going to open it up so you can cross over. And that's what happened. They had to take that step of faith. Luke 18, verse 8, is verses 1 through 8 is the parable of the persistent widow. And Jesus said in verse 8, he says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? And when you read that passage, you'll find out the persistent widow, she had faith, but she was persistent with it. She kept praying. She kept approaching that judge for the right answer. And so we have to be persistent. And everybody said, has everybody learned something this morning? Okay. We're to lead with blessing and signs following as God's children, all right, as his sons and daughters. And this is Matthew 10, verses 12 through 13. I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. It says, when you enter the home, give it your blessing. If it turns out to be a worthy home, let your blessing stand. If it is not, take back the blessing, all right? So you're to lead with blessing. And that's pretty strong stuff there. If somebody doesn't bless you, you need to move on, all right? Last Sunday, I'm going to share this real quick. Last Sunday, and I always, when I've come prepared, all right, as a teacher, I come prepared. And then, but I always pray beforehand, God, I know I have notes, and you've had me study this all out, study to show myself approved. But God, when I get up here in front of your people, I don't know who's all there. I don't know who's watching online. I don't know who's going to hear this next Sunday on the radio. So God, I am your vessel. If you need to speak something through me, let her rip, all right? And last Sunday, I was standing up here, and how it usually happens with me, and everybody's different, is I just had this impression, real, as I read that scripture, that I had this impression that somebody was in a relationship that they needed to dust their feet off of, and that they were a blessing in this relationship, but they were trying to receive a blessing from this other person, and that they just, that was kind of all this all happened like that quick, that I saw this, and that person, whoever that is, needed to move on. So I shared that, and if you was here last night, you remember me stopping like I'm doing now and sharing that. And I did that, and then we moved right along, and nobody came up to me after church, you know, and said, man, that where you stopped and said that. And I was like, and so then I'm human, so I'm going home. Leroy knows I'm human, so I'm going home going, God, did I miss that? You know, because, I mean, I stopped my message and said that, and I felt like there was something. And the Lord's like, Mark, did I tell you to do that? Yeah, then just release it. If you don't ever hear from anybody, you did what I told you to do, all right? And it's up to them what they do with it. So, but I was, you know, we're human nature. I go home, I was like, who was that for? God, I'd just like to know. Who was that for? And there was somebody that was watching online that sent me a text later that evening, and she told me, she goes, I'm so glad you said that, because that answered a prayer that I've been praying, that I needed to move on in a relationship that I'm in. I was like, God, you're so good. God is so good how he speaks to us that way through his word. All right, Mark 16, verse 20 says, and they went out, and this is us. I mean, I just want you to understand this. This is not just people that stand up here in the pulpit and preach. Every one of you in here are ministers, and everywhere you go. So they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Meaning, if you're at work, you ought to be a blessing. All right? When you go into work, you ought to lead with blessing, and then when you leave, there ought to be signs following that you were there and that you were a blessing. And everybody said, amen. All right. Here's number three, seed the clouds with humility. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 6. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And we have to be humble people, all right? And this is a learned behavior. You have to do it. God doesn't do it to you. You know, God doesn't just bless you with humility. It's a learned behavior. And if you're a prideful person, guess what? The life is going to give you plenty of opportunities to be humble, all right? And so just learn to be humble so you don't have to go through that stuff, all right? Just be humble. And humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is just thinking of yourself less. And so when you walk into a room, instead of being the person coming in the room saying, here I am, here's God's gift to mankind, okay? All right, be the person that walks into the room and says, there you are, I see you, and offer a smile to them. A smile really ministers to people, all right? You can bless someone with your smile. The fourth thing is seed the clouds with positivity. We need to be positive, and everybody said. And I know the times that we're living in right now, you know, the political turmoil, the economic things, and if you watch the news, I just turn it off, amen, because you've got to stay positive. And positivity is functioning out of the promises of God. In Numbers chapter 13, we learned last week about Joshua and Caleb. They were the only two that came back with a positive report, but 10 people came back with a negative report, and those 10 people caused and some scholars say up to 2 million people from going into the promised land. They had to wait another 40 years. The Bible says that Joshua and Caleb, they were of a different spirit, which was this spirit of generosity, and they understood the double blessing. They understood that God had already given it to them, and they had to wait those 40 years to go back into the promised land, and they got their inheritance. So in your life, in our default settings, we always think about the negative stuff, all right? Negative, 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 negative. And you've got to train your mind to think about the positive things that are going on in your life. If you're in a Job-like season right now, all right, we all have different seasons of life. Mark Ward's back here with two hands up. Job-like season, you have to really train, you have to consciously do it. You have to train your thinking to think about the positive things that are going on in your life. You know, my marriage is healthy. My kids are healthy. You know, I mean, you've got to get down, you know, the air conditioner works. I mean, you just got to, the heater works. I mean, just all that. I got a roof over my head. I got food in the refrigerator. There's things to be thankful for and to have a grateful heart for. And you've got to train your senses to be positive. I said this, there's this, it's called the Losado ratio. It says that you need 2.7 compliments for every criticism. All right. So basically three times more of positivity than negativity in your life. And so we got to do that, guys. We got to stay positive in this negative world. And number five is seed the clouds with generosity, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And this is Acts 10, verse 2, talking about Cornelius. Says he was a devout man and one who feared God, so he respected God with all of his household. He gave alms. He gave alms generously to the poor, to the people, and prayed to God always. So he was a prayer and a giver is what he did. And the clouds were, the Bible says that the heavens were open above him. And that's, if you'll go read that story in Acts chapter 10, that's where God sent Peter to his household to introduce them to the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? And so then we learned about growing generosity and the grace of giving. And this was the slide that we ended with last Sunday. And I told you I was going to teach you more about this today. And the title of this message is, Am I Generous? And so, to grow in generosity and the grace of giving, we need to learn how to give spontaneously. And I'm going to talk more about this here in just a little bit. But you need to have a God pocket. Number two, that's where you have a pocket where you've budgeted for it. It's above the tithe. It's an offering that you keep in your pocket that you can either say, if Pastor Mark gets up there on Sunday morning and says, there's something that needs to be done around the church here or something, I'm going to give you an opportunity to give an offering, then you have it. Or if you see an offering, you can designate where it goes. So if you run into somebody at work or wherever that needs help, then you've got that God pocket to help them out. And guys, it's fun when you start, it becomes fun doing that, saying, God, who's next? Who is it, you know? And it becomes fun doing that. So it's more blessed to give than to receive. And then number two was give consistently. And that's 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, which talks about every Sunday you have the opportunity here to give consistently. And that's, you know, and I know there's some people that bring their giving or their tithe in every 2 weeks because that's when they get paid. Some it's once a month, some it's every week. So you got to give consistently. Number three, give proportionately. And that's Malachi 3:10 about the tithe. By the way, next Sunday, I'm going to do an in-depth teaching on the tithe and tell you why it's still relevant today. It's not just Old Testament stuff. It's New Testament too. And then number four, in fact, it was even before the law, tithing was. So I'm not going to get ahead of myself because that's next Sunday. And then number four is give radically. And that means, I just want you to stop and think about this. What about doing a double tithe, 20%, or do a reverse tithe, live off the 10 and give 90% to God? And somebody said, has that ever been done? Yes, it has been done by J.C. Penney. He did that. And so today's message is, Am I Generous? And we're going to go to John chapter 12, and we're going to read the story here, pick up the story in verse 1. In John chapter 12, it says, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead, there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This, he said, Okay, really pay attention to this verse. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. All right, God's saying, yeah, we need to still give to the poor, but me you don't have always. And she is putting this extravagant gift on me. Now, when I studied this out, I want you to stop and think about this, because this is not in Scripture. Jesus wasn't anointed for burial. In fact, on Sunday, the ladies came to anoint him for burial because they had the spices in him, but they found out he's already checked out, all right? Third day, he's risen again. So this lady, actually, what Jesus said, she's kept this for the day of my burial. She's actually anointed me for burial ahead of time. Now, this is before he died. This is before the cross. And I was studying this out, and guys, this gripped my heart so hard. Because if you've ever studied about crucifixion, it's a horrible death, okay? And, you know, we see on TV that little platform that's underneath your feet. No, that wasn't there, okay? His feet were hammered, both of them together, and then his arms. And so when that happens, you're leaning forward, okay? And so it cuts off your diaphragm and everything from breathing. And so to take a breath, you've actually got to push up on your feet and do that to just take a breath. So I just want you to imagine that's what Jesus was doing for us and shedding his blood for us, okay? And so this is getting me, because when I studied this out, what this one scholar said, and I was like, man, that is so good, and I've never even thought about that. Because when Jesus was up there, and you know, you can't tell me, he was fully man, fully God, and you can't tell me when he's going through that kind of pain that he's not thinking, I could call my Heavenly Father and end this all now, and we can just start all over. I don't know if this is worth it. But as he was thinking that, up from his feet came that aroma of what Mary did, what we just read about. And he's got, I gotta do this, because we're going to read another scripture where he promised her that wherever this gospel is preached, what I'm telling you today, 2,000 years later, it's going to be spoken of as a memorial for her. And so every time he got that waft of that the perfume, you know, that oil coming up, you know, he's seeing Mary, but he's also seeing all of mankind, all of us. And that kept him in that moment for us. Woo! That's awesome, guys. God is so good. And so, but in this passage, and this passage can go a lot of different ways to teach from it, but there's two things I want to show you here that Mary and Judas, and this basically shows us two hearts displayed here. One is a generous heart, and the second one is a selfish heart. Mary had a generous heart. Judas had a selfish heart. And what revealed, listen to this, what revealed their hearts was giving. That's what revealed their hearts. It's the ultimate heart test, is when you get down to the giving. And she gave out of generosity because, if you know this, the backstory on this and why Lazarus was at the table, he'd been raised from the dead. If you'd had your brother raised from the dead, you'd probably given too. Amen. And she gave out of a generous heart. Now, Judas had been with Jesus all those, you know, through his ministry, and he had a selfish heart. And I always like to argue with God. Have you ever argued with God in Scripture? You're like, what? God, you're smart, you're wise, so, you know, and I'm a pastor, and so who you want over your finances is a smart, wise person, right? I.e. Dusty Dollar. Dusty Welty oversees our church finances, and I'm like, Jesus, you're not very smart, you know, that you put him over that. I want you to notice something about the grace of God here. And I, when I was studying this, the Lord put him over the treasury because he already knew what was in his heart. He was trying to get him to repent and to come to his senses. Wow. God is so good. All right, so here's the three points. Number one, the enemy of generosity. The enemy of generosity is selfishness. And this is Matthew 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. All right, and that just, wherever you put your, Wherever your money's going, that's where your treasure's at, all right? A lot of my money's going to my grandkids right now, so that's where my treasure's at. I was just thinking about their, we got them their Valentine's gifts yesterday. Can I tell you Grandpa's story real quick on Jarek? This has nothing to do with my message, but I'm going to get to a little toddler thing here in just a second, though. But Jarek's 2.5. Yesterday, they're at her house. Ava is chewing on her pacifier sideways because she's cutting in her side teeth. And Jarek sees her. And Jarek, he's 2.5, so he walks over and he just yanks it out of her mouth. Of course, she starts crying. And before I can ever say anything, he just sticks it back in the right way. And he steps back and he goes, "Perfect." I was like, "Oh my gosh, 2.5, perfect." You know? Wow. So, all right, Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or God and money." All right. So if you have a hard time with this, God is generous, G. God is generous, G. Satan is selfish, okay? So if you want to be like God, you need to be generous. And so here's an just sharing this story about Jarek. Here's an introduction to property law from a toddler's perspective. And you can actually take this into even to an adulthood if you haven't renewed your mind to being generous. But if it says, if I like it, it's mine. If I can take it away from you, it's mine. If it looks like mine, it's mine. If I saw it first, it's mine. If you're having fun with it, it's mine. If you lay it down, it's mine. If it's broken, it's yours. Thought that was really good. That's one of the first words that kid learns is mine, 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 right? And it just annoys the heck out of you when they say that. Mine, mine, mine. All right, here's number two, the extravagance of generosity. This is 2 Corinthians 8:7. It says, "But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in the grace of giving." Excel in the grace of giving. And I put up there, this is give your time, your talents, and your treasures to the Lord. Just to give you an example of some people in Scripture that have given, David, and I'm going to talk, even we're getting into dollar signs here. David gave in the Old Testament what they say is equivalent to $21 billion in our time, billion, B, to the temple back in the Old Testament. The widow gave two mites, right, in the Gospels. Mary, what we just studied about, that 300 denarii, that actually equals up in that time period was a year's wage. I want you to think about it. We're coming up on tax season right now. How much money you made last year, okay, your gross income. Can you imagine giving that all in one offering to the Lord? That's what Mary did that day. And here's what I want to tell us all about this. It's not the amount that makes it extravagant. It's the heart and the attitude in which it was given. And everybody said, there's three levels of giving: tithe, offerings, and extravagant offerings. Tithes, offerings, and extravagant offerings. That's the three levels of giving in Scripture. In fact, if you want to get real technical, tithe is really not giving. It's just you need to do that. You need to pay your tithe. And everybody said, amen. And then there's offerings and there's extravagant offerings. Like I said, I'm going to teach more next Sunday on the tithe. I'm going to talk a little bit about it here. But only 5-7% of Christians tithe. So that means only 93-95% get to the first level of giving, which actually the first level of giving the tithe, let me tell you something, that's what opens the windows of heaven over you. That's in Malachi chapter 3, all right? So most Christians, 93-95% of them, are not having that open heaven over them because of the tithe. You can't designate the tithe either, okay? 10% belongs to God. People want to designate money. I'll give 5% here, and I'll give 2% over here, and then 3% over here, and that makes up the tithe. No, your tithe goes to your local storehouse, to your local church, all right? And the reason why people want to designate money is so they can control, okay? And Pastor Mark, be honest. Over the years, being 22 years being here in Leedy, there's been a few times where people tried to control me with money. Don't do that. Okay? That's not of God at all. Don't do that. I'm not going to do that. There's some pastors that might, not this one. I'm not doing that. Not playing that game. And so you can't control, you know, people. I've had, and here's another one. I've had people, and I understand this to one degree, but when you do your giving, don't toot your horn. Okay? All right? Let God toot your horn. All right? Because if you're tooting your horn, then you just robbed yourself of a blessing and a reward. Okay? And I've had people chase me down to give me their tithe or their offering or both, and it's because the heart in which it was given was not because they weren't there last Sunday, but it was because, Pastor, I want you to see what I'm doing. That's not a blessing. That's not how you do it. That's still with control and manipulation attached to it. Don't be that person. And everybody said? All right. Give you a little example of this. So the tithe doesn't belong to you. In fact, the tithe belongs to the Lord, but here's the deal. None of it belongs to you. All 100% that you're making doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. And I'm going to tell you, and so we're just to be good stewards over what God's blessed us with. And we're all at different levels and that's okay because that's where you're at. God wants you to be obedient and trustworthy over what he's given to you. There was one day here, I'm going to share this story. There was one day I was out here in the parking lot. It's been years ago. Taya had a flat on her edge. And she was in college at that time. It was parked out here. She had a flat. And I told her, it's okay. You know, she came in after church. After church was over, she said, Dad, I got a flat. And I said, okay, I'll come back out here this afternoon, change it out. So I came back out there that Sunday. And I get back there, and we'd owned this vehicle for about a year at this time. And I get back there where the donut's at, and I'm getting it all out. And all of a sudden, there where the donut's at underneath that carpet thing, I notice there's a bag there, or an envelope, a manila envelope, and it's really thick. I was like, what is that? I mean, it's like, is that like the owner's manual? Is that how to change a flat, you know? And so I reach in there, and I grab it, and I was like, man, that feels, and I opened up the envelope, and guys, it was $4,000 in cash, $100 bills, brand new. Close the envelope. I looked up to heaven. Said, thank you, Jesus. I'm being real with you. Okay, and then the conviction hit, and God said, that ain't yours. I said, but God, we've owned this car for a year, and if they don't know it's here, they don't know it's here. They don't even know it's missing, you know, if they haven't called in a year. And God just marked that money's not yours, and then God said, do you want to sleep tonight? Basically, that's kind of how it came down. Yeah, I do want to sleep. And he's like, well, then you need to return this to the owner. And so we found out who had, because this was a pre-owned vehicle, we found out who owned it, and we got that money back to them, all right? They didn't have to give us a dime back, right? But what happened in this situation, I didn't tell them what to do. I think God did, because it taught me a huge lesson, is God, they gave us back $400 off that $4,000. Well, if you know the math, that's the tithe off of it. They didn't have to give a dime back, but they did that. I was like, God, they didn't have to do that. Why did they do that? He goes, because I'm trying to teach you a lesson that nothing of this is yours. It's all mine. The tithe is mine. That cash is mine. Everything you make is mine. Because sometimes we get in that mode of mine, 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 mine. And I'm going to tell you what will stop that voice in your head is if you start tithing. And then you'll realize who really owns everything. And it just works, guys. It just works. And just do it. Just trust me. The Bible says it's the only place in the scripture where it says you can test God. Try it. It works. And so that money doesn't belong to you, Mark, and neither does the tithe. And then in the offering part of it, how the best way to create is to create a God pocket. And you've got a budget for these things, guys. I mean, off the top, and somebody said, well, is it gross or net, Pastor? Do you want a gross blessing or do you want a net blessing? All right, so that answers that one there. So, you know, render to Caesar's what Caesar's and to God that's God's. You know, and so that's what you got to do. And you're created in the image of God. And so create that God pocket for offerings. And then there's another story that I ran across before we get to our last point this morning. Is everybody learning something this morning? Okay. This is a powerful story of a guy that lives in Texas. And he got up one morning, he was having his quiet time. And the night before he had sat down, he figured up what was in his checking account after he paid all their bills. He was a business owner, and this guy was wealthy, all right? And he was already a giver. He already tied to his local church. He always, you know, he gave offerings. And so he figured up how much was in his regular checking account. Then he figured up how much was in his savings account. Then he figured up he had an investment account. He figured up how much was in it. And then he figured up how much was in his retirement account. So those four accounts is what he had, and that's what he added them up. And it was a pretty large number because this guy was up in years. He was older. He'd been in business for quite a while. So this was a pretty big number. And so he figured that up, and he got up the next morning. He was having his quiet time. And he said, I was praying, and the Lord spoke to me and spoke just in my heart, said, I want you, he said, the Lord asked him, said, would you give all of that? And he said, I asked the Lord, give what? And he said, you know, what's in my wallet? He said, no, what you figured up last night, would you give all of that? And he said, I'm going to be honest with you, my first gut reaction was fear. I was afraid. And God said, would you give all that? And he finally just got over the fear, and he told the Lord, yes, I'd give it all. And he goes, and I'll be honest with you, because my flesh was screaming, but I was kind of hoping God was like, I just wanted to know if you would. But God did the, let's follow through with it. And so he sat down with his wife, and he told his wife, he goes, honey, God really spoke this to me. And I know not, and I'm not, hear me out, okay, as I'm telling this, because everybody, when a preacher starts telling stories like this, then everybody starts having that thing. The enemy gets in there and says, he's asking all of us to give everything we got. No, I'm not. Okay, you've got to hear from God to do this. And so he talked to his wife, and he said, she's going to be the test on this. And she was like, I'm so glad that God spoke to you that. And she was a cheerful giver. He said, she didn't have the fear like I did. And he's like, OMG. So here we go. So the next Sunday, they gave it all to the Lord. And then I'm not going to get into all the details, but from that moment until just a little bit over a year later, he said, I was having my quiet time again. And he said, the Lord asked me, he said, hey, his name's Steve. He said, hey, Steve, how much is in your accounts? And he's like, no, I don't know, God. He goes, no, I'm not asking you to do this again. I want you to go figure out what's in your accounts. So he went back to his checking, his savings. This is in 1 year's time. This guy had been in business for 15 years up to this point in a very successful business. So he said, I went back and I figured out what was in my checking, my savings, my investment account, my retirement account. And he goes, it was over double what I had given to the Lord. And he said, and God did that in 1 year. And just to prove that you can't outgive God. And I'm not telling everybody to give everything you have. Now, if God tells you, you got to be obedient. But I'm just telling you some stories that there are people out there that have done it. And J.C. Penney, like I said, he gave 90% and lived off the 10. And here's the third thing today is the reward of generosity. And in Mark, we read this story in John. But I'm going to show you another scripture about the same story about Mary in Mark chapter 14, verses 8 through 9. It says, she has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. So the reward of generosity is God's blessings upon your life. All right? So Mary gave out of a grateful heart because her brother was raised from the dead. And so generosity comes from gratitude, being thankful. And guys, I'm telling you, we weren't born this way. We have to renew our minds to this. And once we're born again, you know, the first thing that I wanted to do after I was born again was I wanted to serve God with my time. I'd never been taught about this yet, but I just wanted to serve God because his love has just been shed abroad in my heart. God, I want to do something for you. So the reward of generosity is God's blessings. And then we'll read one more scripture, and this is our last scripture for the day, is 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. It says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, talking about Jesus. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And guys, and that is a big amen. And we need, the Bible even teaches that we're to look at the household of faith, meaning our church family. We need to be a blessing to them. And guys, I'm going to tell you, am I generous? I didn't title it, are you generous? Am I generous? I'm asking the same question too. There's been a lot of times that I know that God's asked me to be generous, and I was stingy and selfish. Now, I'm not saying that you give to every person on the street corner when you go to Oklahoma City. Hear me out, okay? You got to be led by the Holy Spirit. God, who is it that you want me to bless? Who is it that you want me to be generous to, all right? Because there's a lot of scams out there. But here's the deal. If you get scammed, that's okay. You did it with a rightful heart, with a good heart. But you learn from it and you move on, right? And you start learning to be a little bit more discerning things. There was one time a guy asked me for $5. And I thought, man, I'm going to be good and give him $5 because he's telling me he's hungry. What I should have done was go buy him a Happy Meal, right, for $5. But I gave him the $5, and then I found out a little bit later that he spent it on prescription pills. Okay, fool me once, you ain't going to fool me twice. But I gave it out of a right heart, so God blesses that. But I'm not going to fall for that trick again. Next time you tell me you need gas, I'm not going to give you $10. We're going to go up here and get $10 worth of gas. Amen? God wants you to be wise, what I'm teaching, be wise with your giving as well. So here's my generosity challenge for us. Everybody ready for a challenge? Okay. There's three things I'm going to challenge you with, right? And I'm challenging myself with this as well. Start tithing to your local church. If you haven't already, start. Okay, you maybe want to start today. If you can't start today, then get with your spouse and pray about it and figure out what your finances are. But start tithing to your local church. The second challenge I have for you is to create a God pocket for offerings, and that's where you can designate things. Meaning, there's in my billfold. I was already learning how I'm going to do this with my own life. Is I've got two different spaces in my billfold. And so one space is just going to be my God pocket. So you figure up, I said this jokingly last week, and I'm going to say it again. Jada got on to me last week, but here we go. Because if you're hearing this challenge, we've got to do more than 5 in a 10 spot. We got to do at least a 20, okay? All right? Because we are Pentecostal. And we're a non-denominational Pentecostal church. I mean, believe in the full gospel, all right? Because if you give a fine of an 10 spot, that's Baptist and Methodist. I said that last week. Made a joke against our Baptist and Methodist. And I love our pastors here in town. But at least get up to 20, okay? And then where I want us all to get to is that we're carrying around that $100 bill that's burning a hole in our pants because we need to give that to somebody, all right? But you got a budget for your tithe, that comes off the first fruits, and then create that God pocket for offerings. And get creative with it and get fun with it because, God, who is it today? Who is it? Is it somebody? And you might just say, okay, it's $100, but I'm going to do $100, and it's going to be per month based on my budget, okay? What I'm going to do is $100 per month, but God's going to show me somebody to give that $100, or maybe it's $250s or whatever. However you want to do it, or, the 520s, And then that way you can really have some fun and just say, God, who is it that we want to bless? And everybody said, amen. Amen. But in this, when you're doing this, don't forget those that are closest to you. Because a lot of times we exclude family and we think, well, I need to bless somebody else, not my family. Because the other night we went to a play, and Jade and I blessed our niece with $20. Okay? She did a great job in her play, and so she got the old $20 Pentecostal handshake after the play, and the double blessing. And so don't forget family and your friends, and those are, because, and just pray and ask God, who is it? And it's not always the person that's really down and out either. It could be somebody that you think's got it all put together. Okay? Let God decide who it is, not you. Don't put your thinking into it. That's what I'm trying to get to you. Just let God speak to you who it is. And everybody said, all right. Now, I want to ask you, here's the third thing. So start tithing to your local church. Number two, create a God pocket for offerings. And then number three, everybody ready for this challenge? Because I've been talking about treasures up to this point, about giving. You need to give your time, your talents, and your treasures. And so I'm going to challenge you to volunteer your time to serve the Lord at the church. Okay? If you call this church your home, or volunteer your time, if you're here visiting today and this is not your home church, that's okay. But volunteer your time somewhere. But I'm asking for people to start serving in children's ministry and youth ministry. We need more help in those areas in our church. So I'm asking for it. So you can come and tell me today, Pastor Mark, I want to sign up and serve in either children's or youth ministry. And if you don't, guess what? Probably over the next month, you may be getting a phone call from me. Because I'm challenging y'all, and I'm letting you come first. But the challenge is we're going to get more people in place around here serving. Because when you're serving, you're being generous. And when you're generous, you're happy and fulfilled, and you're receiving more of. If you're sitting here today and you're depressed and doom and gloom and all that, I understand we all go through those seasons of life and things like that. But man, get plugged in and start serving and doing something and watch that cloud lift. Amen. And so start volunteering your time. So I expect at least one couple, at least somebody in the house today is going to say, you know what, I want to be in children's or youth, all right? So volunteer your time to serve the Lord at the church. And I want to close with this today. I know I've been saying closing here, but just two more scriptures, and they're not on the slides. But you may be asking, what the most extravagant gift that you can give to God is this right here, and it's in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5. It says, they first gave themselves to the Lord. It's just basically saying, Lord, here I am. Whatever you say, I will do. So that's the most extravagant gift you can give to the Lord. And in John 3:16, I want you to know that God is an extravagant giver. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. So I want to be like God. I want to be a giver and a generous giver. All right, I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. And I want to lead you in a prayer. This is the prayer of salvation. And maybe you're here today and you know the Lord and you're saved, and that's great. I just say, carry on, brother and sister, and keep doing what you're doing. But there may be some here today that you don't know the Lord. You've never really made it personal. Maybe you've been to church before, but you've just never really for yourself individually called out upon the name of Jesus. And you could be here today, or you could be somebody watching online, or somebody's going to listen to this on the radio. So I want to lead you in this prayer, and it's called the prayer of salvation, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul said that we're to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and then whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer, and even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with me, okay? Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. And if that's the first time you prayed that prayer, next Sunday we can fill up our holy hot tub is what we call it, and we can get you water baptized, because that's your next step of obedience. Jada, will you come up here with me? And I want everybody to stand in here. We're going to dismiss, and you can get your kids in the back if you brought your kiddos this morning. And I'm going to speak a blessing over you. And this is out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26, all right? And if you're standing there with family, join hands with them, okay? Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, be generous.